Spring football is in full swing. David Eichel and Sean Bock, HawkeyeInsider.com, the Swarmcast coming at you with a fresh episode just before the first open practice of this spring. And Iowa fans will get the chance to see their, at least a preview of their 2021 Hawkeye squad when they take the field inside Kinnick Stadium for the first time in, 15, 16 months since the 2019 Holiday Bowl against USC. God dang, that's been a long time. Plenty to get to. We've had the chance to catch up with about 9 players and a few of the coaches. We'll get a chance to catch up with some more coaches as spring sort of goes on. But Sean, just right from the top, I want your take on this, because I feel like for me, spring football used to be kind of a hit or miss thing. It's a little bit of excitement, but after not having it last year, I'm honestly stoked that it's back in the headlines this season.
Yeah, I mean, I say from a coverage standpoint, it's definitely up there. I mean, especially with, this year and all that happened, that to have it back definitely gives people, that sense of like normalcy. And especially now, like going to games or like going to open practices, it gives, I guess that's what it is. It gives people normalcy. And, I kind of feel it too. And, it's just kind of just a different vibe that you like. I mean, every little tidbit that you hear, like every little thing that you hear about the team, it's kind of like, you can look at and be like, okay, like that's pretty encouraging, or that's something to look forward to. And, that's probably one of the best parts of why this year is so good, or this time of year is so good when it comes to football, is that there just seems to always be something notable that comes up, and, people will just run with it and, make a big deal, overanalyze it. And, that could be good or bad, but I think for the most part, it's pretty good, because that means you're excited about something.
Definitely. And I think it's already started to take off. And I mean, you look at this Iowa team, Sean, there's just plenty of storylines I think we'll need to get to. And, I think that the first thing that kind of popped out to me, Sean, when I was going through the list, I mean, Iowa's defense is probably going to be one of the best in the Big Ten. I mean, of course, usually year in, year out, it is. There's a lot of questions up front. We'll dive into that in a bit. And the secondary strong, 5 returning stars. Then you add Xavier Williams to the mix. But Sean, there's only 4 seniors on the 2-deep on defense. I mean, this is a very young but experienced group that I think has plenty of upside. The 4 seniors, by the way, being Zach Van Balkenburg, Matt Hankins, Jack Kerner, and Riley Moss. I mean, you just keep going down the list. I mean, I think it's really hard not to be excited about the defense, especially with how young, but how much experience there is in the fold.
Right. And I mean, we've seen it before in the past too with the Iowa defense. I mean, we talk about those guys leaving, the significant contributors leaving, going to the NFL, and, and we're always like, oh man, like who's going to step up in the place? And, maybe they don't have that immediate impact right away, but, they fill a role and they keep building off of it and they keep producing. And I think that's what this team is going to have. I mean, you look at the defensive line. I mean, Yaya Black has gotten a lot of buzz. Noah Shannon seems to be productive. Logan Jones, I think, could be a really good backup. Zach Van Balkenburg. And, the cornerbacks, everyone comes back in the whole secondary. Linebacker core, Jack Campbell is going to be really good this year. There's a lot to like about the defense. I don't think there's – I mean, that was one of the big concerns coming into the offseason, coming to the season, was how this defense would react, especially on the – how this defense would look, especially on the defensive line. And, all the buzz out of spring ball is that – it really seems to be doing, they really seem to be doing what they need to do. And, that's what you like to hear.
It was interesting to me, Sean, that Phil Parker said he could see as many as 10 guys report, in that rotation, that defensive line. And Chris Reams making the 2-deep behind Zach Van Valkenburg. I want to say that was, I wasn't blown away by that just based on the sort of the potential and hype he came in with, but I was a little bit surprised to see him on the 2-deep. And I think the most notable thing, he's up to 255. I mean, what did he come in to Iowa at 220 at best, 225 maybe?
I think he was 215.
Yeah, I was like 215, sure, 225.
Pretty sure it's 215.
And then you kind of go down the list. I really like, by the way, I love moving John Wagoner back to the outside. I think that's where his potential is. I've never really seen him as an inside guy, but again, obviously I'm not the one coaching him and seeing him on a game-by-game and day-by-day basis, but I like him moving back to the outside. And I think something else notable too, Sean, is Logan Klemp making the 2-deep as well, right behind Dane Belton in that Leo/Cash spot. But I'm interested to see where he actually sits. Maybe he's a Barrington Wade type of role there, because there seems to be a lot of buzz about Justin Jacobs, former four-star linebacker, All-American. He's on the two deep again behind Jack Campbell, but Phil Parker said he's working at multiple positions and he's starting to make a name for himself throughout spring ball.
Yeah, there's, I mean, the linebacker core, I think, is once again going to be kind of a sleeper. I mean, we talked about the defensive line last year, but I thought the linebackers were really good. Nick Neiman produced. Yep. Jack Campbell, we saw what he could do when he was healthy. And, you know, Justin Jacobs, I think he's the type of guy that once he puts it all together, you can kind of just throw him out there and he can make plays. And I think the thing about Jack Campbell is that, you know, him and Justin Jacobs, they just cover so much ground. Like Jack Campbell, I mean, we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
When we saw him at Bettendorf, he just went off because he could just cover so much ground sideline to sideline. And, you know, that's what you like to see out of your young guys. I mean, keep in mind that Jack Campbell, while he's technically a true junior, he technically could have two or three years left here at Iowa. You know, Justin Jacobs has still got a lot of time. You know, that's just what the whole part of the defense is. You know, you got to be a different breed to come in right away and compete. And, you know, those guys are really talented, but I think that also says something about the guys in front of you that, you know, came before you, that those guys were also really talented. And I think those guys filling in behind them are going to be able to step up and, you know, meet that challenge, which is really, really encouraging.
Yeah. And, you know, I think something that's sort of, you know, interesting to me too, you think about how much experience Dane Belton's had. You think about Tyler Goodson. He was the first team all Big Ten running back last year. Sean, a lot of these guys haven't gone through spring ball. And I think what people need to realize about spring ball is it really is different from summer workouts and fall camp. Fall camp is more so, you know, sort of that team development. You're not totally locked into game plans yet. It's a little bit of personal development, but spring ball, it's all individual development. It's a very crucial time for a lot of people. And Tyler Goodson's about to get his first taste of that. Dane Belton's getting his first taste of that. I mean, a lot of the Iowa guys that are significant contributors on this team, this is a big offseason for them because you really feel like they can continue to kind of build up that strong foundation and, you know, in-game experience that they've had. And, you know, I think that Phil Parker and Kirk Ferentz and the entire staff's really excited about what some of these guys can really do. And I think you look at a guy like Logan Lee, I think he's going to be able to make some noise this year. He's been praised ever since he basically got on campus. And, you know, I've said, I think the defensive line's riddled with a lot of talent, but it's untapped potential just because they haven't gotten the reps in. But I think you really look at the makeup of this defense and what the potential is to be, you have to love it. And I'll say this, I'm all on board with the Kevon Merriweather train because I think he has a really, really good chance to have a breakout season. Just his athleticism and everything of the sort, I think he really is the complete package for Phil Parker's defense.
I think I'm really intrigued to see and hear about, you know, the new coaches too. I think George Barnett has some Tim Polis that get him. From what I've heard, he's pretty intense, but like he knows what his nose is stuff. And you know, Liddell Betts, this is his first college gig. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been in high school ball the past couple of years. So I'm really intrigued to see their development and what they can bring to the table. I've heard positive reviews so far, but you know, you really don't know until you get on the field and you see what, I mean, obviously we don't see everything. We only can see what we see on Saturdays and what we hear about. And, you know, when we go this upcoming Saturday and in 2 weeks, but I'm just really intrigued to see how, you know, those guys have fit into the staff and, you know, how much different it looks on the sideline too, with not having guys like Tim Polasek and Derek Foster on there.
You know, it is going to be interesting too, when you talk about Liddell Betts, Sean. I mean, he's working with a very thin running back room this in his first spring ball and his first college gig. I mean, Ivory Kelly Martin's still out with that knee injury that he sustained late in 2020. They have Tyler Goodson. They got Gavin Williams and LaShawn Williams, but that's really it. That's the only three scholarship backs on deck. And you really have to be careful not to beat these guys up too bad. So I'm very interested to see what they've kind of done to adjust and how they've kind of gone through spring football. And I know we won't get the chance to talk to Liddell or George until, you know, unfortunately near the end of spring ball, but I think that they'll be able to answer a lot more of these questions that we have because they've been with these guys now for the full spring. So maybe that's good timing on that part, but it will be their first public appearance since they, you know, were hired by Iowa. But, you know, Sean, let's go right into I'll flip to the offense really quick. And we'll kind of go back and forth by, I mean, obviously number one thing we have to look for in this season, this spring, is what's the development of Spencer Petras? And from everything I've heard throughout the first couple of media availabilities, he's working to get the ball out quicker. So I anticipate a little bit of a redesign in the pass game to be able to kind of emphasize, get their quick guys out in space, make some good throws, and occasionally take a deep shot downfield. But I think along those lines too, is we talked to Tyrone Tracy today, who I anticipate being the breakout player on the offense. I think he's got the most complete skill set, one of the most complete skill sets Kirk Ferentz era wide receiver has had as far as upside goes. But Tyrone said, yeah, you know, Petras sort of struggled last year with accuracy, but he said, quote, his passes are right on the money so far this spring. And I think if you're an Iowa fan, you have to love to hear that so far.
Yeah, he's definitely the top guy in the room. I think we should all really slow down on the Deuce Hogan, Alex Padilla chatter. I think Deuce is going to be the guy eventually, but I think you have to. I know it's hard for people to realize this, but I think you have to put your faith in Petras at this point as opposed to some of the other guys. But, Dave, I was thinking about this the other day. Not necessarily a stat line, but what would you consider like a successful – to consider a successful season for Spencer Petras? How would he have to do?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think 65% or hovering around there has to be for completion percentage, because 57.1 is not going to get done. He said his goal is to be at 65%. I think if you can go from 57 to 63.5 in one off season, I think that's pretty good. So I would say that should be the baseline. As far as touchdown goes, you think about full season. You have the starting running back who's first team all Big Ten. You're going to give him the ball a lot. Gavin Williams, I think, can be a suitable backup. Ivory Kelly Martin will be sprinkled in there. 23 touchdowns and six interceptions. 23 touchdowns, seven interceptions, and 63.5% completion percentage. I think that's a very, very good, like very good step in the right direction if that happens. You know, you can fluctuate the touchdowns a little bit. You can fluctuate the interceptions a little bit, but as far as completion percentage goes, 63.5, I think it should be attainable, because now he has a full season under his belt. He's worked with some of these guys and he has a full spring.
I feel like that's like a really similar, like Nate Stanley step. I think maybe it was 27-7 or 27-6 that he had.
He had 26 touchdowns twice.
Okay.
I believe.
And then how many interceptions?
Not a lot. Let me pull up the stat line real quick. Yeah, because, you know, Nate obviously kind of dropped off his final year, but that was for, I think a variety of reasons. But let me go back through his stat line real quick. Interceptions in 2019, he had 16 touchdowns, seven interceptions as a senior. You go back through his career passing stats. He had 26 touchdowns, and he had six interceptions as a sophomore and 10 interceptions as a junior.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I just think, you know, personally, I just think Petras needs to be – this is going to sound like dumb and cliche, but he just needs to be suitable. He just needs to be, like, solid.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Nate Stanley did not do anything, like, super special at quarterback. Correct me if I'm wrong. Were there any times where you were like, oh my God, Nate Stanley, like, you've got to be kidding me? Obviously, the Ohio State.
Yeah, I was going to say the Ohio State.
The touchdown he had at Indiana. But it's not like, you know,
the Iowa State game, first career road start. We needed five touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah. It's not like he, like, ever blew you out of the water with, like, his play and stuff. Like, he was just solid. And I think people took that for granted. That's fair.
I think that's fair. I think like any quarterback, I think he had a variety of, oh my gosh, plays. I mean, you think about that deep pass to Hawkinson. I think it was against Wisconsin where he span around the pocket a few times and then pointed to Hawkinson just to go and then just threw it up as he got hit, and Hawkinson with the pass interference came down with it somehow. I mean, some of those plays, but then obviously you can, for every unbelievable Nate Stanley game, you can think of one where it was like, you know, he probably should have came up a little bit more. But of course, it's not always on one player. The offensive line struggled for him at times. I think that's a completely fair point too. I think that, you know, again, I feel like we say this every single year, Sean, but I think this year it's going to be more prominent than ever. Iowa can go as far as Spencer Petras can take him, because I love the makeup of the defense. They have enough skill players in space. I think obviously Tyrone will need to be the guy. Nico needs to be consistent, and they need to have a big year out of Sam Laporta and whoever the number two tight end is. I think it will be Luke Lachey, and they'll have to be able to run the ball with Tyler Goodson. But, you know, Spencer has the pieces around him. You know, if they want to contend for the West, I think that they I think there's no reason why they really should not be contending for a Big Ten West title.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I was going to say something else too, but I think wide receivers, that's something that I want to watch kind of closely. Because, I mean, Nico, from what I've heard, Nico's running the same position. Tyrone's running more out of the slot. But I think he's all could be an outside guy. And also Desmond Hudson, who is receiving some good buzz heading into his true freshman season. Supposedly he's been working a lot with the X position. So I'm really interested to see how, like, you know, those lineups go. Because last year it's like we only saw four receivers. But this year we could see, what, like five or six?
I think it's safe. I don't want to say it's safe to say because there's so much more to do. But the early buzz does make me think that Arlen Bruce and Keegan Johnson are going to play to some extent. I don't know how much, but also, based on everything also, I'm hearing, yeah.
Think about this, though. Like, Arlen, you see him run the slot, or do you see him, like, kind of, you know, in motion, maybe some wildcat stuff? I don't know. Like, and I think Keegan's an outside guy. I know that.
Keegan has to. I think Keegan can – I think Keegan ultimately could play the Z where Emir did, but I think he's got to be an X. I think he's got to be an X. But at the same time, Sean – think about how much success Tyrone Tracy had in his redshirt freshman season at X when Brandon Smith went down that 80-yard touchdown catch in the Wisconsin game. He had some of his best games in his Iowa career so far. It came when he replaced Brandon Smith.
Yeah, Northwestern.
So that's where I'm interested to see if Tyrone does run more in the slot or if he's, you know, outside a little bit. I know Desmond Hudson's received some good buzz and he can probably bring some different things. But, man, after watching Tyrone play the X – you know, I think that Kelton Copeland and Brian Ferentz have some versatility and some different options that they can run.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, I'm on Twitter right now, and there's a KFC fried chicken sandwich ad that I've been staring at for like the past 3 minutes. And it is, I have not eaten since like 9 o'clock, and this thing is just, holy crap. Wait, so what were you saying about?
I said, I'm keeping this in, by the way. I'm telling you that right now. Think that what you think about Tyrone had a couple of his best games at X position, but, I think Brian and Kelton Copeland have some versatility. I mean, they got some options. And I think that if Spencer's comfortable throwing to different guys at different positions, I think that could help can help the Iowa offense going into the season.
Definitely. I think, and I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's been written. Everyone's talking about Tyrone needs to take that next step. And how does he take that next step? Eliminates the drops. I know he had one last year. But keep into account, he only had 14 receptions. So, I mean, that's a small sample size. But that's kind of like behind the scenes has been the talk, is he's got to work on, you know, being more consistent with his hands and bringing balls down. Because, I mean, his speed and his athleticism is going to draw so much attention. Like, he is no doubt Iowa's biggest deep threat on the roster with that playmaking ability. But he's just got to do it consistently. He's got to be the guy. He's got to be able to bring balls down. He's got to be able to make plays. Like, you know, he can make plays with his feet, but can he go up and get a pass? Can he can break down as a defender and get open, but can he win that jump ball? You know, there's just a lot that we need to see that we just haven't, we just don't know yet.
I think the biggest thing for him is what happens with athletic receivers. They want there, and with the way Tyrone describes himself, is he wants to be an electric playmaker and be explosive every time he has a chance to touch the ball. I think he gets so entrenched in that that he forgets the most important part, bringing the ball in before looking upfield. I think that's his biggest problem right now. But like you said, I think that there's so much potential he has, but at the same time, we need to continue to see what sort of progression that he can really make. And like you said, I think Keegan's more of an outside guy too. I'm really interested to see how the reps go on Saturday. I really am, because a quote that stuck out to me today, Sean, Max Cooper, because Max Cooper is utilizing his extra year of eligibility, is he said, yeah, you know, Arland and Keegan are learning the playbook much faster than I did. And I know people might say, oh, you know, that's interesting, Max Cooper saying that. People forget Max Cooper played as a true freshman. He knows what it takes to play as a true freshman. So that's something that, you know, it's kind of really hasn't left my mind since that interview, is if he's saying that these two early enrollee freshmen are learning the playbook and making plays on the field, you know, I'm not crazy enough to sit here and say they start, but maybe they emerge as the fourth and fifth option.
I'm very interested about the whole Max Cooper situation. I wouldn't say I was surprised, but I think when you don't play much in the past couple of years and you're a senior at that point, maybe he just loves college. I don't know. Or maybe he just wants to stay around. But like, I feel like you wouldn't come back unless you know that you're going to have a role this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. In some ways. Yeah. Man, I here's the thing. I hate overanalyzing these quotes and stuff, right, but at the same time, it feels like we sort of have to, because I don't want people to throw unrealistic expectations on two true freshmen to quote unquote change the passing game or bring in this new wave of receivers. I think both of them will be high level contributors in the future, but like everything else, when it comes to football, patience and letting guys develop is probably going to be the biggest thing.
So yeah, I agree with you.
So I think we need to talk the offensive line, Sean. We got a few minutes left here, and obviously we'll have much more in the coming days and in weeks with spring football. The offensive line, Tyler Linderbaum and a whole hodgepodge of untapped potential. But at the same time, you look at guys like Kyler Schott, Justin Britt, who I think could be in for a big, big year. I really like his potential. Cody Entz is listed at starting right tackle, but again, he's going to be out for the spring due to an undisclosed injury. Jack Plum starting at left tackle, did get the chance to play last year. Mason Richmond, who Tim Polasek was a huge fan of, and you know, 24/7 Sports got it right when others were listing him as a two-star. Our guys did a great job identifying his talent, moving him up to a four-star. He's the backup at left tackle right now, 6'6", 290. Redshirt freshman, he's got a lot of potential. And it is interesting too. I think I'm only going to mention this, Sean, because it's still worth noting, but I think the writing's on the wall. Noah Fenske was listed as Iowa's backup center, and I do believe that would have been the case. But I think there's a variety of reasons why he left. But you have to think, Sean, it was the addition of Michael Mislinski that really kind of, I don't want to say pushed Noah out, but would have severely limited his potential in-game reps once he got on campus.
Yeah, I didn't talk to Noah after he entered the portal. But from what kind of I've heard is that I think he just wanted, you know, to get a different perspective of things at another place. I could see him being a pretty good contributor at a place like UNI or one of the nearby FCS schools, one of the Dakotas. But, yeah, I think maybe the addition of Michael Mislinski had something to do with it. I mean, Fenske was a guy that could play all over the offensive line.
Yeah.
Not to the degree of Cody Entz, but I think Fenske was a really, really solid player. I think he, you know, if he weighed a little less, he could have played anywhere on the offensive line. But I mean, oh well, he'll figure something out. He'll have a good career elsewhere.
He's got the athleticism, the physicality to be able to make a difference at some program. I mean, athleticism and everything was never a question, but to go back to kind of the stuff about the offensive line, Sean, I think you have to think that Jack Plum's going to start left tackle this season. I'm interested to see what happens with Cody Entz. Nick DeJong, from Pella, Iowa, 6'6", 296, making the backup there. But at the same time, I think Mason Richmond could have a say there as well, because I don't think Iowa's going to be able to keep Mason Richmond on the bench for long. I think that his potential, again, it's probably as high as anyone's on the offensive line outside of Tyler Linderbaum. I'm not going to put anybody in the category of Tyler Linderbaum because he's coming in as the nation's best center entering this season.
Yeah, the offensive line, a lot of good storylines here. I mean, Kirk Ferentz always talked about Justin Britt, what he liked about him. Linderbaum, going to be Linderbaum. Kyler Schott, who has honestly seemed like he's been there forever, is listed as a starter. Tyler Ellsbury, another four-star in the 2020 class. I thought that was really interesting. I was looking at the 2D when it first came out, and, you know, a lot of people were like, why is Iowa only taking three offensive linemen in this class? All three offensive linemen are listed on the 2D.
Yeah.
You know, or from the 2020 class, Mason Richmond, Tyler Ellsbury, Josh Wolk. I know that, you know, we're not supposed to look that far into the spring ball 2Ds, but I mean, I feel like that's just notable. I think Josh is good ability, but I think there's some things he needs to work out mentally in terms of, like, you know, getting some stuff down in terms of like where he needs to block, what kind of block is it, kind of stuff like that. And I think Mason Richmond, I've heard really good positive things about him as well, that the Iowa coaches see a lot in him and, you know, his upside. And he's put on some good weight since he's been to school, which has been promising to see. I think there's a lot to like about the offensive line. I mean, Jack Plum, I think what we saw last year from him was really promising. I think he's going to be the guy that takes his game to the next level. Cody Inns, I mean, we've heard about his athleticism and how – you know, well, he can play all five spots. And Nick DeJong, maybe he's not listed as a starter, but I think he could be a guy that, you know, gets more reps as the year goes on, or, you know, God forbid an injury happens, he could be the guy to step in there. But I think there's a lot of talent and upside on this line. Nate, I definitely think there is a chance that it could be one of the better ones in the Big Ten. It doesn't have, you know, the household name outside of Linderbaum, but I think it's just rock solid across the board.
Yeah, and again, I think it's unproven talent, and that I don't mean for that to sound as negative as it does. I just think that these guys need reps. I think that's the biggest thing. That's why spring ball, Iowa's going to be in a lot better position this year, Sean, just because they had spring ball. I know you can say that about almost every team, but just with what Iowa's losing and the guys who are getting the reps, I think they're going to be in such a better position entering the 2021 season. But you know, I know we keep kind of bouncing around here, Sean, but I want to get back to Spencer real quick. You asked me about what my stat line would be for him and kind of what I want to see out of him. I guess the only other thing I'll add before I ask you this question is I want to see Spencer be calm in the pocket, because you could tell when one negative play happened, he would get so antsy in the pocket. His footwork was sloppy. He was kind of I call it happy feet, just sort of bouncing around all the time, not really being balanced. And I think that goes a long way. And I think he's, like most quarterbacks, he's a very, very rhythm-oriented guy. So I want to see him be calm in the pocket, be confident in the pocket, and be able to make these reads. And we talked about the release time, but I guess what do you want to see out of Spencer during spring ball and, I guess, entering the 2021 season?
Yeah, definitely consistency and more confidence. I think Ken O'Keefe brought up a good point that, you know, it's his second year starting. Like, you expect him to take that extra step. And, you know, I think we'll see that. I honestly think we'll see that. I think he has a year under his belt, and, you know, that's going to make him feel more comfortable and, you know, make him feel better about where things are at. And, you know, the offense, I mean, I know he won't have guys like Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset there, but, you know, he's got other weapons around him that, you know, may not be proven, but, you know, we like what we hear from behind the scenes and how, you know, they can come together. And I think, yeah, this spring ball is going to be great, and summer too, and just hopefully a more normal schedule with everything, and, you know, having the non-conference games, not going right in. Oh, actually, they are going right in the Big Ten play against Indiana, but
yeah.
You know, you get those extra games against, you know, Kent State, Colorado State. I mean, obviously, Iowa State's not going to be a walk in the park.
I was going to say, they had probably one of the toughest 1-2 opening games in the country, yes. Just as far as yes. A dynamic duo. I mean, Indiana and Iowa State, imagine saying that 5 years ago, Sean.
Yeah.
On the toughest 1-2 games, then you get Indiana, Iowa State.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. Maybe in basketball, but
yeah.
Not
football.
No, not football by any means.
Then you look at where the basketball programs are like right now after last season versus their football programs. I mean, talk about 2020 in a nutshell. I mean, honestly, but yeah, I'm sorry, Sean, go ahead. That's just crazy to me. And keep in mind, Iowa State returns almost everybody in the offense, like everybody that started, and then Indiana gets Michael Penix back.
Yeah, it's going to be – those are two very athletic and up-and-coming programs that, you know, have a lot of hype around them. And, you know, Iowa's always kind of been that consistent, you know, nose to the grind, kind of low-key, you know, go about our business. But, you know, both those programs have been kind of, you know, pushed around by Iowa the past couple of years, and they're going to want to have a say. So, and then, you know, someone brought up a good point to me about this. You know, you look at Indiana – you look at Iowa State. I know Iowa's had success over Iowa State the past couple of years, but what's Iowa known for at the start of the regular season?
Go ahead, say it. You already know. I know it.
Starting out slow.
Yep.
So, I mean, Indiana's getting them in a good time. Now, who knows what the Hoosiers are going to open up like, but, you know, you can't have those bad starts. You can't have it.
It's interesting to me, too, though, and obviously we have plenty of time to dive into this, but I'm also interested to see how Indiana and Iowa State respond, because this is without a doubt, the highest expectations they've ever had entering a season. I don't know about Indiana. I think Indiana too, but Iowa State certainly. I mean, they're going to be a top eight team in the country preseason, at minimum top 10, I think. I'm interested to see, can they, you know, does the pressure kind of get to them, or are they going to come out strong and, you know, look to kind of reprove themselves entering the season?
Yeah, Hoosiers are going to be a very, very interesting football team. So is Iowa State. I don't think an Iowa State team has ever had this much expectations going into the regular season. It's going to be very, very fascinating to see how Iowa does in those first two games.
Yeah, and a couple other final notes about the initial depth chart. And again, we'll come back in another episode probably on Saturday, Sean, just immediately after spring ball, go through our takes and what we saw. I think we'll do that too. Reggie Bracey, backup strong safety to Kevon Merriweather, not entirely surprising. We both kind of thought he was undervalued, not by, you know, recruiting service. I thought that 24/7 did a nice job rating him. But as far as high major offers, he did get more, but he's never reported it. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah, he said more schools are reaching out. I think a couple of Big 12 and ACC schools are reaching out. But yeah, I mean, Iowa offered him pretty early in the process, and, you know, some schools backed off because, you know, he was hurt for a little bit, but now he's balling out, or he has potential to be a really good player at Iowa. You know, he kind of, during his recruiting process, he took loyalty to a whole new level, because he could have seen what those other schools were offered, but Iowa was one of the first to believe in him, and, you know, he took the chance.
Derek Foster right there as well. Jay Higgins, Mike linebacker, behind Seth Benson. I don't think that's surprising to either one of us based on what we've kind of heard and what we've kind of seen over the past year, ever since he got on campus. I think that's about it for the two deeps as far as surprise go. Obviously, by the way, we haven't mentioned Joe Evans is the backup to John Wagner at left end. He'll obviously be a package guy, but we've seen what he can kind of do as well. He's still hovering about that 248, 253 range as far as weight, but his explosiveness and his power can throw off even huge, you know, right tackles, left tackles. So again, it'll be a lot of storylines, just a lot of untapped, you know, not unproven guys, but a lot of things need to watch on. So I guess before we wrap this up, Sean, and by the way, we will do a whole nother podcast breaking down basketball and the offseason departures. The reason why we elected to wait is Fran McCaffrey is having a Zoom press conference on Wednesday, aka tomorrow at 1:30. So be sure to stay tuned to Hawkeye Insider for that. And obviously we'll talk whatever he has to say and much, much more. So Sean, any other final notes about spring ball before we wrap this up?
No, I got nothing else.
You gonna go get that chicken sandwich now?
No, I can't. Can't do it. I'm cutting. So
not gonna lie, I looked it up after you said that, and now I might need to go sneak one or two.
I just cannot my car is parked across the street in one of the lots, and it is just such a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
To walk, go pick something up, park that car again, because I live right next to a Biotest, or not right next, I'm parked next to Biotest.
Yeah.
But I'm like parked in like the first spot or like the last spot in the lot.
Yeah.
So like right next to the Biotest parking. So people will think if I'm not there that that's like plasma, parking for plasma.
Oh, that's annoying.
So I've had to like call. Yeah, it's very annoying. And yeah. I every time I like drive up, I like pray that it's not there. There's not a car there.
All right. I don't think I have any other final notes, but yeah, again, HawkeyeInsider.com for the most, you know, in-depth complete coverage for your Iowa Hawkeyes. Be sure to follow us at David Eicholt, at SBOC247, at Hawkeyes on 247. And yeah, we'll have plenty of coverage from tomorrow's press conference, spring game on Saturday, and much, much more. Be on the lookout as well. I'm hosting a podcast with former Iowa kicker Keith Duncan, and that's sure to be incredibly entertaining if I do say so myself. So be sure to stay tuned to that. So David Eicholt, Sean Box, Swarmcast signing off. Thanks. Talk to you in a few days.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.